Welcome to the Lab Rats Podcast. You are now entering the maze.
Hey everyone, welcome to Lab Rats Podcast. I'm Andy Kraft.
And I'm Aaron Kraft.
And this is the official podcast of Health Act.
Health Act is a weekly health newsletter that you can get delivered straight to your email inbox. It is a health newsletter without a hidden agenda, without clickbait, no BS. Not the stuff you get with these other news outlets that are trying to push some type of agenda. Health Act is just based on the science, based on the facts. It's short, it's sweet, straight to the point, and most importantly, we keep it light and humorous. If you want to check it out, it's completely free. All you have to do is enter your email and you get a weekly update every Friday morning. So to learn more, check out the show notes.
Well, it's good to have you back, man. The Solos episode was kind of a train wreck.
I doubt that. Short. That was our first week off. I haven't done a podcast since the start of all of this.
Yeah, which is crazy. We might have to start doing that just to give each other a break when each of us get hectic. But yeah, you were in Alaska, dude. The pictures looked amazing.
Yeah, it was beautiful. It was a lot of fun. Mariah and I went there like 5 years ago in the winter. It was like end of winter, so it wasn't like crazy cold. But this was the summer, so it was like a whole different feel. And in the summer in Alaska, for those of you who don't know, it stays light all the time. Like the sun technically sets it'll be like bright as day up until midnight. Sun sets around midnight and rises at 4 a.m. But even during like that 4 hour period, it's still like it's not dark dark. It's still like dusk, I guess you'd call it.
That's crazy.
For those 4 hours. But like it was 10:30 and literally I'm laying in bed. I mean, we had blackout curtains, but if you open the curtain, sun is just beating down on your face at 10:30 at night.
That's so weird. Did it like mess up your circuit? Like, did you have more energy because like it always felt like it was the middle of the day?
I think, yeah. I mean, it was kind of weird just because I had jet lag at first going there because it's a 4 hour difference. So between the jet lag, the time zone difference and the lighting thing, I just felt weird. I never felt really tired. It wasn't like 10 p.m. I started to get tired. I took melatonin every single night. I wore my blue light blockers every single night. So that did help. But yeah, it's weird. Mm-hmm. But it was a really fun trip. Got to do a lot of hiking, see a lot of cool sights.
And you did some like jet skiing, like around glaciers or something, right?
Yeah, that was probably the peak of the trip. We did this like glacier jet ski thing. So we went into one of the, I don't know if you call it a bay or I don't know what it's called. We visited a cove. Yeah. Basically where there's a bunch of mountains and glaciers on the mountains and you jet ski through there and you like drive up to the glaciers and take a look at them and see the coastline. It's really awesome. Wow. And the water's freezing. So you have to wear dry suits while you do it. So we were dressed in dry suits and like a helmet and everything. We were covered head to toe. But I was driving along like it was beautiful sights and I wanted to look at it. But we're going fairly fast on these. But I was like looking at the coast and I started turning to the right. And as I was turning and looking, a big wave came and just flung me off the jet ski.
Dude, I was wondering like what if you fall in? Like, I mean, that's cold water.
Apparently it's uncommon. They said they had been open for like 4 years and I was like only the fourth person to fall in. I don't know. I figured it was like a pretty common thing, but like nobody falls in, I guess.
You should get your name on a board or something there.
Yeah. So I took it pretty easy there and out, but yeah.
Was it cold? Like, were you able to keep going?
I had a dry suit on, so I didn't get water in me really. I got a little bit came in through my neck and my hands, but I was able to keep going. Okay. I got cold after that, but because you're moving and the cold air is blowing on you, but
wow,
it wasn't that bad. But I also had a little incident there. Another injury update. I was like standing in a canoe. The canoe was on shore about to go in. I was standing and I fell in the canoe on my tailbone. Right onto my tailbone, and it hurt, but I didn't really think much of it. But then like 3 hours later, I like literally could barely walk. I was like hobbling. It hurt to like sit in certain areas, and it was like that for like 3 days, like painful to walk. I could barely stand up. It started to get better and better, in like 2 weeks. So it's been, I think over 2 weeks at this point. And yesterday was like, I felt pretty good. So I did, it was one of the first workouts back, and I was just going to squat with just a barbell just to see how I felt. And I did like five, and then on like the sixth one, this sharp, sharp pain shot through my my tailbone. So I have a feeling it might be fractured or broken rather than just a bruise, because like I can touch it and it doesn't feel bruised. It's only like certain movements hurt it, so I'm thinking it's a fracture rather than just a bruise, which is going to take longer to heal. But
are you going to try to get it looked at, or just
no? I don't think so, because I mean,
there's nothing. I don't think, from what I heard, because Katie wiped out ice skating a couple years ago, and her tailbone still hurts. And we went to the doctor, like she went like a few months later, and the doctor was like, "I mean, there's nothing you can do with the tailbone. It is what it is."
Yeah, whether it's like fractured, broken, or just bruised, the healing is the same. You just rest, and I guess there's some physical therapy I think you can do with it. But
well, hopefully it's just a bruise. Hopefully it's not fractured, so you can get back to it.
Wow. I know.
Well, I mean, looks like it was worth it. It looked amazing.
Yeah, it was.
All right.
Well, let's dive in here. We're going to be talking about vitamins supplementing. Like, should you supplement? And we've talked about this kind of on the show. Both of us have, I think we've shared our supplement stack that we take and kind of why we take it on a previous episode. But we're talking about, like, should your average person be supplementing?
Yeah. Supplements are a very profitable industry. And I think, like food marketing, the marketing of supplements make them very attractive. They're kind of sold as, especially multivitamins, they're sold as this, take this and you'll be healthy. But it's really much more nuanced than that. So what we want to get into today is, like Aaron said, when does it make sense to supplement? What vitamins and minerals may you need to supplement, and kind of how the source of those supplements matters. We're also going to get a little bit into multivitamins and if they're worth it, and then kind of how we personally supplement. So what situation may make sense to supplement in general?
Yeah, I think there are like three broad groups for like these people probably no matter what need a supplement. And then there's like your average person may or may not need a supplement. But like the three groups who likely need to supplement regardless of their diet are people with dietary limitations or are allergic to certain foods, people who have a chronic illness, or people who are pregnant. Like those three groups of people typically, no matter what, are going to get benefits from supplementing. So like with the allergic to certain foods, like very common allergens are like fish, eggs, dairy, and those are very, very highly nutrient foods. So if you, same with like even veggies, like some people can't consume certain types of veggies like nightshades or nuts or seeds or grains, like all these whole foods. Some people are allergic to certain foods or have poor reactions and just can't consume them. So if you're missing a whole group of foods, like if you're missing dairy completely, if you're missing nuts and seeds completely, then you might need to supplement some of the beneficial nutrients that are in that. So the most, I guess, prominent one here would be like fish. Like if you're allergic to fish and you just can't really eat any types of fish, fish are like one of the few good sources of omega-3s. Really, there's a few plant-based options for omega-3s, but really fish is the one. If you want to get your omega-3s, you need fish. Omega-3s are extremely important. We've done, I think like the last three issues of Health Act, we've done an article on omega-3s with their help with chronic illnesses, with inflammation, with cancer, lots of great things for omega-3s. So if you are allergic to fish, like omega-3 is probably something you need to supplement. That actually reminded me, I was wondering because I know when you're pregnant, you aren't supposed to eat a ton of fish, correct?
I mean, you just got to, you know, watch out for
are there like
raw
types?
Fish. You can't eat raw fish.
Okay.
And you got to watch out for mercury levels. But so yeah, you don't you don't want to eat too much.
Okay, but you can still consume fish when you're pregnant.
Yeah, I mean, I think you do have to watch out for like the higher mercury. But yeah, she like Katie's been eating salmon.
Okay. So yeah, if you have dietary restrictions, then supplementing is probably necessary. Then what about like chronic illnesses and pregnancy? I think you have experience with both of those. So what's your take on those, like with supplementation?
Yeah, with pregnancy, I mean, when you grow a baby, it sucks all of your nutrients. Like that little person growing inside you needs all the nutrients it can get to grow organs and limbs. So the mother loses a lot of vitamins and minerals through pregnancy, and it's estimated that it actually takes 18 months to fully restore your vitamin and mineral levels after you have the baby. So a lot of pregnant women really need, all pregnant women need to take a prenatal. I've not heard of anyone not recommending pregnant women take a prenatal. Those are filled with some good vitamins. And then chronic illness, like there are, you know, people, I mean, anytime you're battling an illness, you need nutrients to fight whatever that may be. A lot of chronic illnesses result in a lot of mineral deficiencies, and a lot of chronic illnesses, especially those as it relates to like gut disruption, like Crohn's or IBS, they are going to have issue absorbing nutrients. They may not even be able to eat everything on the food spectrum. So people with an illness probably need a supplement in some fashion. So those are people where what we just mentioned, dietary limitations, chronic illness, and pregnancy, probably almost definitely need to supplement in some way. But then there's just like the everyday person like us. We don't have any dietary restrictions. We can eat a whole foods diet. We exercise. Then there are those types of people where even we may have a nutrient-rich diet, but there are still nutrients that are difficult to get through food. So that's what we're going to run through now. I'll list them out, and then we'll kind of go through, getting them and why we may need to supplement these specifically, even if you're healthy. Vitamin C, vitamin D, vitamin A, vitamin K2, magnesium, and maybe omega-3. So kick us off with vitamin C.
Yeah, with vitamin C, our bodies don't make or store vitamin C, so it's something that we need to obtain regularly from our diet. Every day we need to have some source of vitamin C to have a consistent level because our body can't retain it or store it. And there aren't a ton of foods where there are high levels of vitamin C in it. The foods you're probably familiar with are fruits and veggies have vitamins. Things like bell peppers, citrusy fruits, oranges are probably the most popular one, broccoli, cauliflower. So a few fruits and veggies do have levels of vitamin C, but it's hard to find. And for certain groups of people, it's hard to find too, because not everybody has access to all types of fruit and veggies year round. Some people only have access to certain types during certain parts of the years. As we mentioned earlier, certain people may react poorly to certain types of veggies like nightshades. That's bell peppers. It's not something everybody can have this diverse group of foods in their diet every single day. It's hard for some people just to get like two veggies in their diet in one day. So it's just not that common of a vitamin in food. Also, it can be cooked out when these foods are heated up a lot. Not every nutrient is removed from foods when you cook it out. You don't cook everything out, but vitamin C is one vitamin that does decline with heat. So you're going to get better nutrients if you eat these raw. So vitamin C is one. Vitamin D is one of the biggest ones here. And in terms of like food sources, there is very little vitamin D in our food sources. Fish is really the only prominent, and even with fish, it's pretty small, but it's the only prominent source of vitamin D with food. There's some in eggs, there's some in like fortified foods and whatnot, but even if you have a lot of fish in your diet every single day, it'd still be hard to get sufficient levels. You really need to get sun exposure. That's where you get vitamin D from. The sun interacts with the skin and it creates vitamin D for the body. This is challenging because not everybody has exposure to the sun year-round. Very, very few places on Earth get light, get sunlight year-round. And even those places, maybe you're inside in an office all day. So it really depends on the person. But most people aren't in the sun year-round. I'm in the Midwest, and during the summer, it's usually pretty sunny. But really, other than that, you're not getting a ton of sun. Down south, you probably get a little bit more sun down there, but still, winters are pretty cloudy there, correct?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, like even in the south, you go through periods where you don't have sunshine. So that's where it would be necessary to supplement vitamin D. Also, things that factor into vitamin D absorption is skin color. The darker the skin color, the longer you need to be exposed to the sun, so it's harder to get. Your age factors into that. Obviously, your location, your diet, all these things factor into vitamin D and how much you get. So definitely one that is likely to be needed to supplement.
Yeah, and then magnesium is another popular one. So back in the day when soils were healthy, before we destroyed the soil with our food system, the soil was rich in minerals like magnesium. And we would get it from the food we ate from the ground or from water. And now the magnesium in the soil isn't what it used to be. You can still get some magnesium through like nuts and seeds, but you'd have to eat a lot to get the amount of magnesium that you would need. I think generally you need probably, again, it differs, but between 400 and 800 milligrams. I want to make sure I'm saying that right.
Yeah,
milligrams.
I think that's right.
Where you're not going to get much from nuts and seeds. So supplementation, just because of the way our food system has changed, it's harder to get that in our diet. So that's one that I supplement with and that we'll talk about later. But yeah, that's another one. And then vitamin A.
Yeah, vitamin A is really, again, not found in many foods. The main one it's found in and where you're going to get it is organ meats, which if you like, I mean, things like liver, heart, pancreas, spleen, like these are foods that we really don't eat much anymore these days. I think this is kind of newish to our time period. Like back in the day, I don't know how many decades ago, but it was common to eat the organs. Like you didn't just throw out food back, I don't know when, Great Depression period. You're not throwing food out before that. Like we have so much excess now, but 100 years ago, we did not have all that excess and we ate every single part of the animal. Certainly thousands of years ago, we did that as well. But in modern society, we only eat the best tasting parts of the meat and then we either scrap the rest or use it for some other purpose. But organ meats is really the only place to find vitamin A, and we do not eat organ meat in our current diet. So that is another area that is often lacking for people is their vitamin A levels.
Yeah. I mean, liver is, I think, one of the absolute richest sources of vitamin A. I mean,
of all vitamins even.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there was a famous story where Eskimos were out hunting some polar bear and they were like starving and they ended up eating the polar bear liver, which is like, you know, jacked up vitamin A from even like a cow, and they all died from vitamin A poisoning. It's not going to happen if you eat like a beef liver, but that's a popular story. So yeah, vitamin A is rich in organ meats, but it's not normal in today's diet. So may need to supplement. And then the last common one that I think people probably need to supplement is vitamin K2. Now, this is different from vitamin K1, which you can get from leafy greens. And some vitamin K1 is converted to K2, but that conversion is not very efficient in humans. Really, the only place where we can get vitamin K2 is in egg yolks or cheese, actually. But like we had talked about in the past, like 70% of people have some sort of dairy intolerance. So that's not always a solution. But egg yolks is really kind of the only other place. So with K2, to get it efficiently, we may need to supplement with that one.
All right, let's run through two quick ads here first, and then we'll be right back.
So one of the easiest ways to tell if you're deficient in something is through Inside Tracker. So Inside Tracker is a blood and DNA testing service that really gives you a very clear picture of your biomarkers. They'll actually come knock on your door, needle in hand, and take care of you right at home. That's what we did. I was able to find my calcium, my vitamin D levels, potassium, sodium, magnesium, B12, folate, and much more. And I actually discovered through this that speaking of magnesium, I was low in magnesium, even though I was supplementing regularly. I was taking like 400 milligrams a day and I was still low in magnesium. But I know that now, and I wouldn't have known that otherwise. And, you know, now I don't need to worry about entering a nursing home at age 65. So Inside Tracker, it really does tell you the important stuff, you know, a lot of which your doctor may or may not test regularly. You can have all this knowledge about this stuff instead of playing the guessing game. Figure it out today so that you don't go years being deficient in something. You can go to insidetracker.com/labrats. And you get 25% off, big discount, using code labrats25. So that's insidetracker.com/labrats. And, you know, when you get your results back, you may see something like you're low in sodium. And so if that's the case, what are you going to do? Aaron, what are you going to do if you find out you're low in sodium?
I'm going to drink Element.
Absolutely. For athletes who are eating minimal processed foods and sweating a lot, there really is no better way to hydrate than through Element. Element is 1,000 milligrams of sodium, 20 milligrams of potassium, and 60 milligrams of magnesium. And it's really the perfect thing to refuel after a sweat fest. I might have mentioned this in the previous ad read last episode, but like water alone is not hydration. If you lose electrolytes and you only replenish with water, you actually become more imbalanced. And that's called hyponatremia, which is too low sodium concentration in the blood. And that is bad news. We don't want that. So you need to replenish with water and electrolytes. And this has the balance of electrolytes in ratios that you lose them. No other energy drink or no other electrolyte drink is like that. So, and it's all clean ingredients, tastes amazing. You can go get some at drinklmnt.com/labrats. Sorry, no discount code. They don't do discount codes. It's like they want us to sell this stuff, but they don't give us a discount code.
Use our code anyway.
Yeah, use our code anyway because we get a little kickback.
Yeah, and we use all that for this podcast and Health Hacked. They also actually, though, Element came out with a new flavor. It's been, I think, a month ago it came out. It's grapefruit. It is fantastic, and it is a limited time only flavor. They say they are getting rid of it after a few months. I'm hoping it is popular enough to stick around because it's my personal favorite, but they might not bring it back. So if you haven't tried the grapefruit flavor, it is fantastic. So check it out.
Yeah. Okay. We got a little bit more to cover here. I'm going to skip over. I had a whole section on like why we need to get our nutrients from whole foods versus synthetic. In the interest of time, I'm just going to put a link in the show notes to a study or a research paper called Food Synergy. And it basically just talks about how basically what you get from whole foods is better than the sum of its part, meaning, you know, more nutrients can be absorbed by consuming a whole food than consuming a single component of that food in isolation in supplement form. And they conclude by saying that a person eating a diet consisting solely of purified nutrients in the dietary reference intake amount, so in the recommended amount, so you just took that in supplement form and you don't get the benefit of how nutrients complement each other in food, those people, they say, may not thrive and would probably not have optimal health. So moral of the story with that is when you're looking to get nutrients, you need to prioritize getting them from their original source first, because they're going to be most efficiently absorbed that way. Now, you may be thinking, okay, I eat a whole foods diet. Like us, we eat primarily whole foods. And that's where this argument for multivitamin comes in is, you know, okay, I do a pretty good diet, but what if I just, you know, throw in a multivitamin on top just to kind of cover my bases as insurance? Or maybe there's just moments in my life where it's like, hey, I don't feel like eating good food, but I'm taking my multivitamin, so I'm not going to become deficient in something. I want to touch on this because I really do think this is important 50% of Americans take multivitamins. Yet we still have, you know, an epidemic of chronic illnesses. So clearly multivitamins aren't this magic pill. And I think a lot of people do put a significant amount of weight in their multivitamin when in reality, multivitamins are not the end all be all. So I actually found two pretty comprehensive studies that show that multivitamins actually have little to no influence on mortality risk, meaning your risk of death. And some multivitamins, depending on the person who's taking it, may actually increase your mortality risk, meaning you'd be better off not taking them at all. So there was a study published in the Journal of American Medical Association, and it looked at data from both clinical trials and observational trials of multivitamin use in women. It looked at data from 162,000 women. Now, 42% of this data came from clinical trials, 58% came from observational trials. So about half the data was like really, really good. The other, you know, we don't know. It's observational. And what they concluded was looking at the data is this initiative provided convincing evidence that multivitamin use has little or no influence on the risk of common cancers, cardiovascular disease, or total mortality in postmenopausal women. So now this was just looking at women, older women, and some of the data was observational, but it's pretty good data. And they basically found that women who used multivitamin weren't any healthier, and they didn't have a longer lifespan or a reduced risk of these chronic illnesses. Now, there's a similar study. This was actually a pretty well-known study in the same journal that looked at 68 randomized trials around antioxidant supplementation. And it was 232,000 participants, and they concluded the supplementation had no effect on mortality. And actually, treatment with beta-carotene, vitamin A, and vitamin E, those actually, people that took those had an increased mortality risk, so an increased risk of death. Now, those are vitamins that are fat-soluble, so too much can be a problem. And then they said, the potential roles of vitamin C and selenium on mortality needed further study. They weren't able to draw conclusions from that. But overall, just looking at overall supplementation of with vitamins and minerals had no effect on mortality. And like this was good data. This was 232,000 people, all from randomized trials. So two pretty big studies showing that multivitamins, at least in the populations that they got the data from, were not beneficial.
Do you know, did it probably said what time period this study was from?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so hold on. One of them was from 94 to 98 is when they pulled the data, but they followed up with them in 2007 is when it was published. I think they followed up with them a few years before that.
Okay.
That's when they gathered the initial data, and then they revisited the data, you know, several years later. I think it was around the same time period. The one with the women that looked only at women was published in 2009.
Okay.
And they were looking at, they were looking at 8 years following the trials. I don't know that second one I mentioned with the randomized trials. I know it was published in 2007, but I'm not sure when the initial data was compiled. So multivitamin use does not seem to extend lifespan. And I think the reason for this is, number one, people are too variable to apply a generic dosage across the plethora of vitamins and minerals. Like a lot of multivitamins aim for like the, you know, the recommended, dietary recommended intake? Is that what it's called?
Recommended dietary amount.
RDA. Recommended dietary amount. So a lot of vitamins are looking to get to that 100%. Like if you look at like Men's One a Day, it'll have 100% on a lot of stuff saying, well, it meets the recommended dietary amount. Problem is that RDA, which this is a whole episode, that's a lot of times those are inadequate for people. And it's really the, that was designed to be the bare minimum that you need to not be deficient.
To like survive.
That, yeah. To survive. Right. That doesn't mean that you're sufficient. It does not mean optimal. It just means here's the bare minimum you need to be, to not be deficient. And, not only are some of those vitamins in the, some of the quantities in these multivitamins not enough, they may actually have too much of one vitamin, kind of depending on what you're eating. So essentially, multivitamins have the tendency to contain too little nutrients of what we don't get in our diet and too much of nutrients that may be harmful in high doses. So let me just take Men's One a Day. If you look at the Men's One a Day, it contains 120 milligrams of magnesium, which is the 29% of the recommended, you know, recommended amount, which is already arguable that that's low. So that's something that we can't get through our diet. A lot of people need more magnesium. Like I said, I supplement with 400 milligrams per day, and I was still low from my blood work. And this Men's One a Day only has 120 milligrams. Like, if there's going to be a high dosage, like, it should be in one that we can't get through our diet. But then you look on the other hand, where vitamin E, which is fat soluble, something that not a lot of people struggle to get in their diet because it's high in, vitamin E is high in oils, sunflower, safflower, corn, which is in like every snack, and that's not a good source to get it from. But it's also high in nuts and seeds. Like, you, people don't have a problem getting this, but then the vitamin E in the Men's One a Day contains 100% of your recommended dietary amount. So, and this is one that you actually can overdose on. Now, you'd have to consume a lot for it to be a problem, but that's just an example of showing how, like, vitamin E, where most people don't struggle to get that, they have the 100% there, but then with magnesium, where almost everyone's, nobody gets enough of that in their diet, it doesn't have hardly any. Another example is vitamin A. Vitamin A, now it contains 100% of the recommended intake of vitamin A, but that is, has been shown to not be enough. Again, separate episode. A lot of people don't get enough vitamin A. It does not have much vitamin A in it, but it has a lot of folic acid, which is very poorly converted into folate. Again, separate episode on that. And too much folic acid can actually cause a lot of problems, but that's what's used in a lot of multivitamins. So the mix and match of like how they're allocating, you know, percentages of nutrients is not ideal for most people. I think multivitamins are meant to serve as this band-aid that you can kind of just slap on without any consequences, when in reality, it can lead to nutrient imbalances. Everyone is different, and you really need to be intentional and specific when you're supplementing. Now, that's not to say that all multivitamins are bad. They're all different, and some may work for certain people, but they're not the end-all be-all. Really, you're better off understanding your personal biology, getting as much nutrients from your food as possible, and then supplementing where needed, fill in the gaps on top of that. So one of the arguments for multivitamins is like, well, it's an insurance policy, you know, it's just, it covers my bases. Well, that actually is probably more risky, given that it may have things that you shouldn't be getting more of. The safer bet, if you want an insurance around nutrients, eat a whole foods diet with many nutrients. Don't depend on a multivitamin to kind of fill those gaps, especially if you don't know what those gaps are. And yeah.
Yeah. Everybody is so different. If you've gotten your blood work done in the past, then you know kind of what your levels are. Specifically, if you've gotten a blood work that shows your like vitamin levels, like Andy and I both did, Inside Tracker, obviously, and like we live a same DNA, we're brothers, we're a few years apart. We live a very similar life. We eat almost the same foods, do the same types of exercises, like as close as you can get almost as two people can in terms of lifestyle. Yet your magnesium was low. Mine was optimized. Your vitamin D, I believe, was optimized and mine was low. Mm-hmm. Like those are two key nutrients that we had that were completely different. And if we were just taking a multivitamin for that, it would not be enough to correct them or to align them.
Yep.
So that just goes to show that, I mean, that's one piece of anecdote evidence, but like everybody's different. Everybody has different levels. Even if you live a super healthy lifestyle, there still could be some downfalls that you need to fine tune and check in and make sure everything is aligned. And your lifestyle changes over time. Like mm-hmm. as you live and progress, the type of workouts you do, you change, the types of food you eat changes, your stress levels changes, like your life changes mm-hmm. over time, and your inside, yeah. inside your body, your blood work changes as well. So getting that checked every once in a while has been, I know, good for us. And like, we've been able to make some informed decisions around mm-hmm. our supplements. And I'm not trying to pitch Inside Tracker here. This is like legitimately something that is extremely important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So do we want to talk about kind of what and why, maybe not why, but I guess what we can talk about why I do, but what and why we supplement on a daily basis for us specifically, yeah. just to kind of, I guess, further show that a multivitamin might not necessarily be necessary and why we take mm-hmm. the specific dosages that we take.
Yeah. Yeah. You go ahead. I feel like I've been talking too much.
All right. I think we have a very similar stack. So basically every night I'll take four supplements. I'll do vitamin C. I'll do that every day, 1,000 milligrams. Vitamin D, this is something that I was low in. I wasn't like deficient in, or I don't think I was even insufficient technically, but I was like on the very low end of sufficient. So it was like, I was fine, but I definitely want to keep an eye on it and not get that any lower than it was.
Mm-hmm.
So during the summer, if I'm out in the sun every single day, I typically work out outside in the sun. So I get like an hour of sun exposure there in the summer. But other than the summer, I don't get a ton of sun exposure. It's pretty cloudy in the Midwest. I work at a desk, so I don't get sun during the day. So I do supplement with vitamin D every single day outside of the summer. I'll do like 5,000 IUs of vitamin D. And then during the summer when I'm getting a ton of sun, I'll back it down to maybe like 3 times a week. Zinc, I do 50 milligrams and I'll kind of go on and off with zinc. I honestly don't know why. I just kind of go on and off mm-hmm. with zinc. I don't take that consistently. Magnesium, I take a pretty low dosage of this. Mine was optimized. I think it was slightly higher. So I take 135 milligrams of magnesium every day. If I were not optimized, I would probably up my dosage here because that is a fairly small supplement, but 135 of magnesium. And then two things that I should start taking. One is vitamin A. I don't consume any organ meat at all. I did it when we did the carnivore diet. I had a ton of organ meat, but I think that kind of scarred me.
Yeah.
I haven't had organs ever since. So I probably should supplement with vitamin A and omega-3. I don't eat enough fish. I really wish I would eat fish like 2 days a week. But in reality, like I don't love fish, so it's not something I eat often. So I either need to, those are kind of my two working points for the next mm-hmm. 6 months or so, is up my vitamin A and up my omega-3. But that's kind of my normal supplements. And then supplements around fitness, I'll do collagen, creatine, and beta-alanine. Those are kind of my three fitness-related supplements mm-hmm. that I'll take based upon my workouts. So that's okay. kind of my daily stack.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Mine is very similar. I take vitamins for like my immunity stack is vitamin C, vitamin D, and zinc. I do all those every day except for vitamin D throughout the summer. I do typically every other day. Okay. Vitamin C, I do 1,000 milligrams of that every day. Zinc, 15 milligrams of that. The brand is Thorne for anyone that wants to on all those. The brand is Thorne. I do omega-3 on days that I don't eat fish. Try to eat fish every other day, but I'm not a huge fish fan, so it ends up normally being like, I don't know, once or twice a week. But I take
what brand do you use?
Nordic Naturals. It's high quality.
Does that have like a ratio of like DHA and is it EPA?
Yeah, I can't remember, but I remember, yeah, this one was like a good ratio. Most of them don't. Okay. I think a lot of them are high in EPA, but not DHA. Okay. This one, and then, yeah. So Nordic Naturals, you can get that at most health food stores. That's almost, it's like 1280 milligrams, almost 1300.
Okay. So you'll take that every day, assuming you're not eating fish.
Yeah. If I eat fish one day, I won't eat it.
Okay.
I won't take it. And then for my vitamin A, I take organ pills. I am blanking on, I'm blanking on the name now of the brand, but it's liver, kidney, and heart, ground up.
Okay.
I take that for vitamin A, and then magnesium. I take, 400 to 600 milligrams per day. Since I got my inside tracker, I bumped that up a little bit. But yeah, I don't take a multivitamin. I never have, not because of this. I mean, not because of the research around it. I mean, I've just recently discovered this, but yeah, I've kind of just tried to get as much as I can from my food and then supplement where I think there may be gaps.
Yeah, I think that's really the getting from your food is always best case scenario. And even within supplementation, there's kind of like, I guess, two realms of supplementation. There's like, I guess, food, if you want to call it a food-based supplementation, and then like synthetic supplementation. You mentioned your organ pills. Like, those are like freeze-dried, ground-up organs, like put in capsules. So it's like, yes, it's a supplement, it's a pill, but it's the whole food still. It's still actually real organs. So these are kind of like food-based supplements, and like when you can find those, like those are better. Those are the best option, the best alternative. I know other brands do this. Juice Plus does it. I can't vouch for Juice Plus. I haven't done research on them, but I know it's the same concept where they take fruit and veggies and they like, I think they extract like only the good parts of it and freeze dry it and put it in capsules, something along those lines. Cod liver oil, same thing. There's like cod liver oil. You can just get the oil or you can get it in pill form. There's a company called Mega Food, I believe is the name.
Yeah.
And they do the same concept where it's like whole food supplements. So
yeah, that's Katie's prenatal is Mega Food.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah.
It's this whole realm of supplements that are real food, but they're in supplement form essentially. But then there's your like typical non-food-based supplements, like whatever you see on the store shelf, like your vitamin D, your vitamin C on the store shelf. There is a way to, a few things to make sure you're getting higher quality, because there's no regulation around this, or very little regulation. Like the FDA does not evaluate effectiveness. They don't evaluate safety or quality of these supplements before they enter the market. So it's really up to the consumer to figure out if these things are, if they're good or not. I think one rule of thumb is probably don't buy from Amazon. Like those are really sketchy reviews on Amazon are paid off and very inaccurate. So I'd be hesitant to buy from Amazon unless it's like Thorne, for example, is a supplement company. They have their own Amazon store. So I get my Thorne from Amazon, but it's through Thorne's Amazon store. But don't just like search like a vitamin C and like get the cheapest one on Amazon.
Right.
But I guess the number one thing to look for is looking for third party testing. This ensures that some company, some lab did tests on this product to ensure what is on the label is actually in the product. So it's called a certificate of analysis. And the common third-party like labelings that you'll see on a supplement is NSF or USP. Those are probably the most common labels you'll see it on. It's on a decent amount of ones in your average store. There's also a BSCG label, a consumer lab label. There are certain labels around like athletics specifically. I think it's NSF for athletic performance, something along those lines, to ensure it has no like banned substances in it. Oh
yeah, yeah, I've seen that.
But all in all, like make sure it's third party tested. The label on the supplement will say if it is third party tested or not. That's kind of like step one. Like if it doesn't have that label, don't buy it. Step two is like take a look at the label. Like look at the ingredients. Make sure there's no added like fillers or emulsifiers, anything just added to the product that shouldn't be in there. Like the one that pops in my mind is elderberry. Like if you buy elderberry syrup, most of it has like insane amounts of sugar. It's like a teaspoon or a tablespoon or a serving has like, I don't know, a lot of sugar, like 10 or 20 grams of sugar in a very small amount, which elderberry syrup is not great tasting. So the sugar makes it taste good. But if you're taking an immunity aid, like you don't want to have all the sugar with it. So just look for at the ingredient labels and make sure there's nothing added into it. And then just do your due diligence, like do reading of reviews from websites that aren't affiliated with the product. You know, look at people who you trust and take their opinion for it on, I guess, does some doctor have specific recommendations that they make and that are fairly reliable. Some of, I guess, our favorites that are technically, physician grade. Yeah. So I think that's what it's called. There's like a physician grade supplements. But the ones, and I think the ones we're listing here are technically physician grade, but the ones that we like and that we've kind of done research on, and a lot of people we trust to recommend these products would be considered, they're all third party tested clean ingredients. But the number one we use is Thorne. Another good one is Pure Encapsulations, Claire Labs, Metagenics. Do you have any other ones to add to that list? I know there's more than just that. There's plenty, but those are kind of the four that are our go-tos.
Yeah. No, that's most of my supplements are Thorne. Yeah.
Yeah. I exclusively use Thorne just because I like the branding and it's easy to buy on Amazon.
Right.
But any of those are great.
Yeah. And I think like before you start just like trying to like take stuff, the takeaway is really number one, like look at your diet, like try to eat minimally processed foods, more whole foods, as we've talked about endlessly on here. But you may be eating a whole foods diet, but you still could be deficient in something due to either some underlying condition or just like we talked about, some things are hard to get from food. So the best thing you can do, and I know it's not convenient, but it's like get tested to see if you're deficient. Like being deficient in something like iron or, really anything. If you're deficient in any of these minerals for an extended period of time, it can do some long-term damage. So find out today. It is worth the investment. Like people pay $200 for a cell phone bill, but then you look at like $150 to get your blood work and it's like, ooh, don't know if I can do that. That's pricey. It's like,
right.
Think of the data that you're going to get from this. And again, this isn't just an inside tracker ad. You can go to private MD labs if you want to like pick and choose your own panel. Inside tracker, it has a preset panel, but you know, private MD or some of those other ones, Wellness Labs, I think is another one. You can kind of make your own panels, but like it is worth the investment. Cause then you can actually like spend money on supplements that are doing something as opposed to wasting money on supplements that maybe you don't need or that are actually doing you harm. So the takeaway from that is supplement intentionally. Don't just take a multivitamin to cover your bases. Cause that could be doing more harm than good. It could be causing a nutrient imbalance. Understand what is going on inside you, because you are unique. Your diet, your lifestyle is unique. And then fill in the gaps with some of these high quality supplements.
Yeah. When we say these like blood panel tests, there is just like if you just go to your doctor and just ask for a traditional blood panel test, that honestly doesn't give you much. They do like a lipid panel and that's really the main thing.
Liver, they might do like a liver health, they might look at like your glucose or something like that, but
yeah, it's not much good information. I mean, it's good information, but it's not much. Like there's not all the vitamins and minerals in your generic lab test. So yeah, private MD labs or Inside Tracker, both great. You don't even have to do it that often. Like Inside Tracker will tell you to do it like every four times a year or something. Like you don't even need to do that. Do it once every 3 years or once every year. You don't have to like spend this money very often. And once every 3 years, you're ahead of the game if you're doing that. Most people don't even do that. So
yeah, and think of it as like an investment in your health. I mean, it really can prevent medical costs down the road by understanding, like pointing out things that, you know, may be an issue today, like really does save you time and money and you know, enjoyment, life enjoyment down the road. So All right. A little longer than previous episodes. We didn't get this one down as much as we wanted to, but hopefully this was good information. You have any questions on this or any feedback, feel free to message us on Instagram at Health Hacked. And if you're not subscribed to Health Hacked, check it out. Or if you are subscribed to Health Hacked, check your junk mail, because I know some of you people haven't opened a single email. So go go look for it in your junk. All right. Thanks, y'all. Have a good week.